Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sachem, daf Samechei. Okay, if you feel like enough with the kavanas and the shlo, and the arelus and the mulin and the okay, in other words, it's Torah. It's every minute of it was precious, but it was difficult stuff. So we move on to a somewhat new topic in discussion. We're in the fifth parak of Sachem, we're starting the Mishnah of Samech Dalet. And there's an issue in the Torah. The issue in the Torah is mentioned twice. It's mentioned once at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, and it's mentioned again at the end of Parshas Kisisa. And that is the following, that you're not allowed to shech Karban Pesach while you own chametz. Now, to just make matters clear, there's an issue to own chametz, meaning once Pesach rolls around, so there are three yisurim. There's the issue of Achila, the issue of Hana, and there's Bali Rabba Yamatzeh. You're not allowed to own it. So even just the simple ownership of chametz is already going to be an issue. But in addition to the owning of chametz, if you own chametz and you shecht the carbon pesach, so now you are violated a law in the Torah, negative prohibition in the Torah, and you're subject to malchus. You're going to get malchus for doing so. If again, assuming all the due process was met. So you're going to get malchus. Say what's the tamad davar? What's the reason why the Torah asks it? So let's start off with the Torah asks it. That's first and foremost. It's in one of the Yisurim of the Torah. But the Sefer Chinuch writes that basically what the Torah is trying to suggest to us or trying to make clear to us is that there are two parts of the 14th day of Nisan. The first part of the day where chametz is mutter, and the second day part of the day is chametz is aser. In other words, and before we shecht the Karban Pesach, we have to get rid of our chametz. So as a way of hammering the point that there cannot be chametz in our possession on the afternoon of the 14th, so if we shecht the Karban Pesach while in possession of chametz, so we're violating a law in the Torah. Okay? Says the Mishnah. HaPesach Nishchat, sorry. We're behind. I'm sorry, I apologize. Today's daf is not Samechei, it's Samech Dalet. Okay, I apologize. And we're back on Samech Gimel Amud Aleph. We're starting the Mishnah. Hashochet is the Pesach ala chametz over below Saaseh. So the Tanakhama's position is that if I shech the Karban Pesach while in ownership of chametz, so the person violates a low sase, a lav shebetorah. Rabbi Yehuda or Amar Fatamid. Now Rabbi Yehuda adds one other carbon, and that's the carbon tamid. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda says it's not just the carbon Pesach, but it's also going to be the carbon tamid. Either one of those. If I shecht either one of those while in the possession of chametz, so then it's going to be then you're going to be in violation of this lav. And Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now Rabbi Shimon gives us a third opinion. Meaning so far now in our mission we have two opinions. We have the Tanakhama and we have Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says that this law in the Torah is only for the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says that this law in the Torah is for the Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid. Obviously, we're talking about the Karban Tamid of the afternoon of the 14th day of Nisan. And now we're going to get in our Mishnah a third opinion, and that is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, at Pesach Bar Abba, Asar, Lishmo Chai, Vishol, Lishmo Pater. Vishar Kol Azvachim, Ben Lishman, Vishol, Lishmo Pater. So Rabbi Shimon says, look, on the 14th day of Nisan, this lav only applies to one carbon, and that's just the Karban Pesach. However, over Moed, but now let's go over the course of Yontif itself, meaning from the 15th day of Nisan to the 21st day of Nisan, for those days, now primarily we're really talking about Chol HaMoed, because any carbon outside the Karban Tamid and your Musafim are going to be brought during Chol HaMoed, over Moed, Lishmo Pater Shelo Lishmo Chayev. When it comes to the Karban Pesach itself, so here, it's inverted. Remember, we go over this point again and again. Karban Pesach, if for whatever reason it's not brought on the 14th day of Nisan, and I bring it any other day of the year, it's now inverted, it's converted. It becomes now a shlamim. Now, do I actually have to state that, or is that a default setting? That's a machlokus, which we're going to see later in the Masechta. But in the meantime, however, if I take a Karban Pesach during Chol HaMoed, again, what am I doing with it on Chol HaMoed? Shouldn't I have shecht already on the 14th? Answer is, for whatever reason, we didn't. So there, if I shecht the shelo lishmo, that means it's a good karban. And if I'm in ownership of chametz, I know we're already well into yontif now, but if I'm in ownership of chametz, I violate the lav. And oh, by the way, if I shecht this karban lishmo, meaning l'shem karban pesach, that's not a good shechita. Remember, now we're not talking about on Erev Pesach. We're talking now on during Chol HaMoed. So there, if I shecht it l'shem Karban Pesach, that's not going to be a good shechita. Ushar kol atvachim. Now, when it comes to any other carbon, bein l'shman, bein shelo l'shman chayav, there, even if I shecht a shelo l'shman, I'm going to be chayav. Remember, where the rule is, by any other carbon, if I shecht any carbon shelo l'shmo, the carbon's still good. It disconnects the carbon from the owner, but the carbon's still good. So, if the one who shechted it had chametz in his possession while shechting it, he's in violation of this law. Of course, the only exception would be the carbon chatzos, because if I shecht the carbon chatzos shelo l'shmo, so then the shechita is not going to be good shechita. That also disqualifies. That's a disqualified shechita, and therefore you're not going to be in violation of lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchei. They do become shlamim. They do. In other words, the point of the Mishnah is they do become shlamim, so that's why I have to shecht it shelo l'shmo. That's just, all that means is that I have in mind, this is no longer carbon Pesach, this is now a carbon shlamim. That's it. Yeah, yeah, correct. Correct. Do you actually have to have the shelo l'shmo? So the Gemara, later on, we'll discuss that very question. Okay, now, some very simple questions, some very basic questions, and we're about to enter into the Gemara. And let's just first entertain the following. We now have established that there's an issue in the Torah that if I shech the Karban Pesach while I own chametz, obviously I shouldn't own chametz to begin with. But if I shech the Karban Pesach while I own chametz, so I'm violating this law in the Torah. The Torah says lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi. You cannot shech the my zevach while in possession of chametz, and that's a law in the Torah. Okay, who's owning it? Meaning, who's prohibited? It's a very simple question. So if I just read the pasuk and I just looked at the pasuk lo sishchat, it sounds like the person doing the shechita. Now, mind you, by the way, he doesn't have to actually be the one eating the Karban Pesach. He doesn't even have to be a member of the group. Meaning, somebody's doing shechita, so it's going on the shochet. Okay, that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Who else are we talking about? So that's our first issue that we're going to deal with in the Gemara. Meaning, who's subject to this issur? I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish Lola Menu Chai Vachia Chametz L'Shochet Ola Zorek, top of the next Amud, Ola Echad Mibnei Chabura, or a member of the group. Okay, so in other words, so first things first, according to Reish Lakish, we are going to, this lav is going to be subject to the one who shechts, to, or the one who sprinkles the blood. And by the way, he doesn't mention this, but you know, the two other avodas. It's interesting, whenever we talk about avodas, we talk about the avodah of shechita, we talk about the avodah of zrika. There are two avodas in the middle. There's also Kabbalah Saddam, and there's also Halacha. You would imagine, although it's not really clear from our Gemara, that they're also going to be included in this as well. One would imagine, although it could be debatable. Anyway, the one who shechs, the one who does the zrika, or any member of the chabura. Okay? Meaning, so this Karban Pesach obviously is owned by a group. So if any member of the group is in ownership of chametz, so then he violates the prohibition. Now I said he. Now, who is the he? Take a look at Rashi. Go back to the bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, and the second to last Rashi, the first Rashi of the Gemara. Rashi writes, "Alpha gav diksiv al chametz stama im haya chametz leecha she'enu b'mnei chabur v'afilu yeshnu imo bazara ve'elu hashochten pischem roen osov v'hisra mehen ein orvim kedem afarsh lekamim midiksiv lo sishcha v'lo yalan kosh yeshnu b'halon yeshnu b'shchita v'im yesh leechad mehen." Rashi, it's really the end of Rashi I wanted to show you. And if any one of them has chametz, kulan ovrin. So Rashi writes, all of them. All of them are going to be in violation of this isser. So, right, I mean, we always know that one affects others. I mean, you can't say that these are my actions and they have no impact and effect on others. But in this context, you really see that. Meaning, according to Rashi, one person of the group owns chametz. Every one of them is now in violation of lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi, because a member of the group is owning chametz. So can you imagine now when we go as a group together, like it's almost like we check each other, like you have chametz? No. You have chametz? No. You got rid of your chametz? Because otherwise we're all going to be in violation of the sister. Okay.
I didn't know that the Kohen that do the Zorek is going to...
Okay. And we have to ask the Kohen, you know, Mr. Kohen, do you have chametz? Meaning, it's everyone has to be chametz free. Again, that goes back to the point of the chinuch. The chinuch says that's why there's this isser in the Torah. There's this isser in the Torah just to make sure that we realize, hey, we cannot have chametz anymore. Right? Even though, of course, we already did the sreif in the morning, in the end of the morning, but still, it's a way of hammering home the point. Now, that is point one of Reish Lakish. So point one of Reish Lakish is, who's subject to the Isser? Everybody connected to the Karban. The Shechter, the Zorek, and any owner, any member of the Karban. Now here we get to the second point of Reish Lakish, and this is going to be very controversial. Ajehe imo ba'azara. And the chametz has to be right there in the courtyard. The chametz has to be in the temple courtyard. Now I know, practically speaking, like, who would allow that? Meaning, and what is he doing? He has a sandwich tucked away in his pocket that he knows about? Okay, I, practically speaking, it's hard to imagine. But Reish Lakish says the chametz has to be there in the Azara. Meaning, let's say I own chametz, but my chametz is back home, right? Back in my house in Beit Shemesh, or wherever I decide to live. Bimhera b'yameinu. So let's say the chametz is in my home, according to Reish Lakish. He didn't violate the lav. The lav is only violated when you are either involved with the karban or owner of the karban, and the chametz has to be there with you in the azara. Now, how does he know that? So we'll get to that in just a moment. Rav Yochanan amar af al pi she'ein imo ba'azara. And Rav Yochanan says, no, ownership is ownership. What difference does it make where the chametz is? If you own it, you're in violation of the sister, period. So your chametz could be home, but you're still going to be in violation. Now, b'may kamiflagi, so the Gemara now starts off with a very simple question. So now we have a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan over, does the chametz have to be there in the azara together with you? Reish Lakish says yes. Rav Yochanan says no. So what's the machlokes? So li'ilema ba'al b'samach kamiflagi d'Rabbi Shimon Lakish over al b'samach Rav Yochanan sever lo b'inan al b'samach. So maybe the question is like this. Well, how does the pasuk go? Lo sishchat al chametz. Don't shecht. Now, literally, the word al means on top of, but we understand in this context that's not what it means. We'll translate in English, don't shecht over my chametz. Okay? But even when I give that kind of translation, it's still a little bit ambiguous. What does that mean, over my chametz? So the question between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is how literal to translate that word al. Does al mean it has to be right there, meaning you are almost literally standing right on top of the chametz? It's right there in the Azara. That would be Reish Lakish's interpretation. And Rav Yochanan says, no, al just simply means you own it, period. Now the Gemara is not really rejecting this suggestion. The Gemara just simply wonders, haven't they gone over this before? Meaning, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, they've covered this issue before. Did not we learn that the Mishnah Shochet told the Lefnim v'lachoma? I'm sorry. Hashochet tod lefnim v'lachoma chutz v'lachma. Yeah, I have an extra vav. Okay, v'lachma chutz lechoma lo kiddush alechem. Okay, we know this. Carbon toda. How does it work? There's an animal and there's 40 loaves of bread. You shech the animal that imbues kedusha into the 40 loaves of bread. Furthermore, the 40 loaves of bread have to be somewhere proximate to the animal when the animal is being shechted. Well, we know where the animal is being shechted. So essentially the question is, where does the bread have to be? Okay? Simple question. So, my chutz lechoma. Now, and the information that's given to us by the Mishnah is that if the bread is outside the wall, so then the bread is not imbued with kedusha. Now, what does that mean, outside the wall? So Rav Yochanan amar chutz lechoma beis pagi. Now Rav Yochanan says outside the outer wall, meaning the walls of Yerushalayim. Meaning the bread has to be somewhere in Yerushalayim. Does it have to be in the temple courtyard? No. It just has to be somewhere in Yerushalayim. And Rav Yochanan says, look, I know it says by the carbon toda that it has to be, that the bread has to, that the carbon has to be on the bread. But on, in the word al, doesn't mean literally. It means that the lechem has to be somewhere in the vicinity. Meaning in Yerushalayim. But not literally right there in the Azara. Now, as you would guess, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar afilu chutz lechomas Azara, lo kaddish. Reish Lakish disagrees. He says, no, the bread has to be in the Azara. In order for the bread to receive the Kedushas Haguf, with the shechting of the Karban Todah, So the bread has to be literally in the Azara. Amma bi'inan abasamach. So therefore, al, according to Reish Lakish, means literally. Now, I'll tell you the truth. It really is perfect. Meaning, we have a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of the understanding of the word al, whether it literally means right there, or no, just simply means somewhere within the area. So it's true by the carbon Torah together with the tlachim. It's true by this iser in the Torah of Shecht and Karban Pesach while in ownership of Chametz, where, again, they're taking their consistent positions. Reish Lakish says the Chametz has to be in the Azara. And Rav Yochanan says, no, it doesn't. So it's funny. The Gemara is like raising this as an issue. Well, they discussed it already. What we could have simply said is, okay, and this is just going to be another application of the same discussion. We could have said that. For reasons which I don't fully understand, the Gemara is assuming, once they discussed it already, can't be that we're going to discuss it again. Okay, I'm not sure why the Gemara is feels that that's a strong point. But
there's another issue to resolve between them.
Maybe, perhaps. But, okay, right now that's what bothers the Gemara. That's why the Gemara is going to give a second attempt of explaining what's this machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Ela b'hasra safik ha-mithlagi. So the Gemara says maybe it's about hasra safik. Now, as process, we know that for anyone to get punished, they need a warning. Okay, that's what's called hasra. Now, the warning comes in by the witnesses. The witnesses are tell the person, do you know that the Torah prohibits this? And do you know that if you violate this is in the Torah, so you're subject to whatever punishment is specific to that particular iser. The general rule is that in order for someone to get punished, they have to get hasra. However, that's only if the person who's receiving the warning knows that if I do this, I will be punished. Let's say, for example, even after he did it, he's still not sure. Okay. Can I give you a simple example? I know this, it sounds funny, but I'll give you a simple example. Although, it's not a pleasant example, but it's a simple one. Okay. Let's say a person doesn't know who his father is. Okay. Mother remarried. There's a 3-month waiting period for a woman to get remarried in order to establish paternity. Okay, hopefully self-understood. This woman got married and she didn't wait the requisite 3 months. She got married 2 months later, and then she had a baby 7 months later. Okay, now I know nowadays genetics it's easy to tell, but in the good old days, it was hard to tell. So this kid now growing up does not know who his father is. His father could have been either first husband or second husband. So now, let's say that this kid over here, right, curses his father. Okay, it's a capital crime, right? Or hits his father, right, another capital crime. And you say to him, right, you hit that man, you're going to be liable to the death penalty. But the problem is very simple. Well, which man is it? Okay, so in other words, that's an example of Hasra Safek, where I warned him, he went against my warning, he did it, but we all still don't know whether or not he actually violated the Isra in the Torah. And, as a general rule, now the question becomes the following. Is that qualify as Hasra, or does that not qualify as Hasra? Can that be called a good warning or not? Now I know, the obvious question is, well, what difference does it make? Meaning, all of a sudden, even if it's a good warning, we still don't know if he hit the right man. It's a bigger discussion. Let's not have it right now. But anyway, the question on the table, is that considered a warning or is that not considered a warning? So, the Gemara is suggesting now, that's the issue right here and right now, between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Meaning, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, that's funny. They already argued over this very issue. Well, I'm sorry, before we get to that point, let me explain it over here in this context. In this context, what it means is very simple. That, according to Rav Yochanan, chametz could be anywhere. So I go over to that guy and they say, hey, you own chametz. You can't shecht it. Well, how do we know? Meaning, the chametz is not here. I don't see it. Oh, yeah, but it's back in my home in Beit Shemesh. Oh, okay. But in other words, how do we all know? So according to Rav Yochanan, that would be an acceptable warning. Even though it's Hasrat Safek, it would be an acceptable warning. Reish Lakish would say, no. A warning is only when you actually see the issa right there and then. Meaning, the chametz has to be in the azara, because now the person who's warning and the person's being warned know with all clarity that he owns chametz. Okay, so, Bahanami, Hapliga Bacharazimna, Ditmar, we learned in a Mishnah Shvur, Shochel Kikarzu Hayom Va'avar Hayom V'lo Achla. Simple example where I make a Shvur and I say, I will eat this bread today. Okay? Rav Yochanan Rav Yishlak Ben Lakish Amit Tavaya Ein Alokin. Now let's say the day goes by and he doesn't eat the bread. So in other words, he's bound by a Shvur to do so, and now he's violating his Shvur. So now, and you keep saying to him, you know, you're violating your Shvur, you're violating your Shvur. That's a warning, but it's not going to absolutely yield an Isser, because he still has till the rest of the day to eat it. Now Rav Yochanan says, you're not going to get Malkus, but for a very simple reason. That's inaction. If you violate an Isser in the Torah by doing nothing, you don't get Malkus for that. But Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that if I warned him, even though the warning stands in a state of doubt, still consider a warning. And Reish Lakish takes the other argument. No, you know why he's not going to get Malkus? Because every time you warned him, you don't know that he's going to violate or not violate the Isser in the Torah. Again, what's the warning? The warning in this case would be, you got to eat the bread. You're bound by a shvua. Okay, I'll do it. In other words, just because I warned him doesn't automatically mean he's going to be violating the Isser. So that warning stands in a state of doubt. So that's why he's not going to get Malkus. Even if the day ends up going by and he didn't eat the bread, he's not going to get Malkus. But Reish Lakish disagrees with Rav Yochanan. He says that you do get Malkus for Alav Sheim B'Maisa. Okay, now, again, the Gemara is basically bothered by the same issue. If our question over here is the question of Hasra Safek, and it's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, yeah, but that's been covered already as well by Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Amre, La'olam ba'al b'samach ha'miflag. So the Gemara goes back to a first suggestion, which is, the issue over here is how to understand the word al. Literally, says Reish Lakish, or not literally, like Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara's problem with that is, haven't we explored that issue already with Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So the Gemara says, Sricha, yeah, but I need it over there, and this is the point you were making earlier. I need it over there, and I need it over here. Utsricha, di'i if legulinyin chametava mina ba'ud be'ahu. You see, over there, Rav Yochanan specifically, in the case of chametz, says, don't take also literally. In other words, anywhere. Because what's the issue? What difference does it make where the chametz is? The Torah prohibits you from shechting your carbon Pesach when you own chametz, wherever it is, it may be. But in the case of the carbon toda and its bread, I'm trying to infuse Kedusha into the bread. So there you can make a very simple argument. Generally, al can mean anywhere. But if I'm trying to inject Kedusha into the bread has to be proximate to the animal. So I might have thought that Rav Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish that you need it right there. The isa gave kaddish ilo lo kaddish mida dehave kli shares. Really, no different than kli shares. Kli shares has to be in the azara. So therefore, it's tzricha. That's why I need the machlokus by mikadosh lechem, because otherwise I would have thought Rav Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish. And the converse, the iash mean linyan mikadosh lechem. And if I only had the machlokus by the toda and its bread, and just the opposite. Meaning, if all I had was a machlokus by kedushas lechem of the carbon toda, I would have thought there, Reish Lakish says it has to be right there because you're injecting kedusha. But in the iser of not shecht in Karm Pesach while I'm owning chametz, he might agree to Rav Yochanan. What difference does it make where the chametz is? It's an iser in the Torah, wherever it is, it may be. And so therefore, I need them to argue on both cases because each one of them shows a particular stand viewpoint of either Reish Lakish or Rav Yochanan. Good, tzricha. So therefore, they're both needed. By Aminei, so again, just quickly now, quick summary of the Gemara. We did the Mishnah. Mishnah has three Tanaic opinions in terms of this prohibition of not shechting Karban Pesach while owning Chametz. Opinion number one, it only applies to Karban Pesach. Opinion number two, it applies to Karban Pesach and the Karban Tamid. And opinion number three of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, says that on Erev Pesach, it applies only to the Karban Pesach. The remaining Yontif of Pesach, from day 15 to day 21 of Nisan, it applies to any Karban, but it's got to be a good Shechita. Good. Those are the three opinions in the Mishnah. What we've discussed so far is, where does the Chametz have to be in order for me to violate this Isser? So that's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says, anywhere. As long as you own Chametz, you're violating the prohibition. And Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish says, no. You have to own Chametz, and the Chametz has to be in the Azara. Okay. That's so far what we have covered. Going on in the Gemara, we're now on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We are two-thirds of the way down. And we are continuing. By Minei Rav Oshi Mei Rabbi Ani. Ein lo l'shochet. Now, I know Reish Lakish has already covered this point, but still, the question was asked. Let's say the Shoche doesn't have any chametz on his possession, but a member of the Chabura does. So, doesn't say your chametz, meaning you, the Shoche, your chametz. So, lo sishachet al chametz tziv. It says over chametz, period. So Amalei Yachi Afil Lecha B'Sof HaOlam. Oh, really? So let me ask you this. Let's say we're all chametz free. The Shochet's chametz free. The Zorik is chametz free. Every member of the Chabur is chametz free. But you know what? There are Jews out there in the world who own chametz. Am I going to violate the Yisra then? So Amalei Amakar Lo Seshachet V'Lo Yalin. Lo Seshachet HaChametz Hanach Dekayim Alam Mishom Lo Yalin. No. Of course, no. Because in the same context, in the same parsha, also the Torah goes on to say that you're not allowed to leave over any part of the karban. Now, is that iser for anyone in the world? No, it's for those connected and associated with this particular karban. So, anyone who's involved in the prohibition of lo yalin, meaning not to leave over from this karban, is also going to be included in this prohibition of lo sishachet al chametz. Amra Papa Hilkach Kohen Amakter Zachel of Over Blosasei Hovi Yeshna Bechlal Halan Esimorim. So Rav Papa says, okay, based on what we just said, I want to add one more person to the list. Meaning, who's in the list right now? Who's subject to this Isser? So far we have the Shochet, we have the Zorek, okay, and I'm guessing, although the Gemara doesn't say this, the two Avodas in between, okay, we have any owner of the Karban, any member of the Chabura, and now Rav Papa says, I'll add one more person to the list. And that is the Kohen responsible for burning the fats of the Karban Pesach. He too, if he were to burn fat of the Karban Pesach while owning Chametz, he's also going to be in violation.
But if the Baalim owned the Chametz, he still gets the...
Yeah, that's what Rashi said. I showed you the Rashi on the bottom of the previous Amud, where Rashi says if one person owns it, it's going to affect everybody.
So the Kohen's responsibility is to verify that everybody's Chametz free.
Right. Correct. So, the Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa Shochet is a Pesach al Chametz over below. I'm sorry. Yeah. So Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa. Now Rav Papa made the point, and the Gemara says, "Oh, by the way, the Braisa says it," which is not really "Oh, by the way." I mean, first it's historically correct, you know, to go in historical order. First, the Braisa said it, and Rav Papa also made the point as well. But the Gemara gives it to us first, Rav Papa, and then the Braisa. Tanya Kavasi de Rav Papa Shochet is a Pesach al Chametz over below. Sasei Eima Saibes Machul Shochet. All the Zorik, all the Echa b'Bnei Chabura, Hayal Echa b'Sof HaOlam means Akuklo. Now, if somebody at the end of the world has Chametz, that's not your issue. Now, it is your issue, but it's not your issue in terms of this Isra in the Torah. Ve'echa HaShochet, ve'echa HaZorik, ve'echa HaMakter Chayav. This is the key line of the Braisa. This is why we quoted the Braisa. Because the Braisa says it's true for the one who shechs the Karban Pesach, the one who sprinkles the blood, and the one who's burning the fat. Well, that was Rav Papa's point. Perfect. And that's why we quoted the Braisa. Aval Hamolik is over barbar. Sorry, in over below klum. Now, what about Malika? No, you're not going to be in violation because Malika is not shechita. Now you have to ask yourself the obvious question.
Like, what is
Milagasa? Yeah, I'm saying what bird?
Are we talking about like maybe Chol HaMoed?
Now it could be that we're talking about Chol HaMoed, or the as Rashi points out over here. I mean, Rashi really gives away the answer. Or we're talking about the Mechusa Kippurim. Remember, there is no carbon that's brought after the Tamishal Bein Arbayim, except now the first exception is Carbon Pesach. The second exception, which we talked about in the beginning of the fifth parak, is those that need a kapara, meaning your mitzoras and the like. Now the mitzorah, remember, he brings three karbanos, and remember, if he is poor, so he brings one animal and two birds. One bird is a chatas, and the other bird is the ola. So it is possible for it to bring a bird on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. The point the Brace is making is, if the Kohen who's doing the Malika is an ownership of Chametz, he's not violating the Isser. Why? Correct. I mean, I hear your argument, but in this context, the Gemara is understanding the Pasuk very literally. Although your point stands. I do like your point. Urim Minhu. The Gemara says, okay, now that we quote the Brisa, just to iron things out, we're going to quote another Brisa. Now, in the second Brisa, we're basically going to be making the same points, although there are two inconsistencies. Let's see if you can find them. Well, the Gemara is going to point them out afterwards. So, Hashochet is a Pesach halacha mitzvah below saase. The Tanakhama of this Brisa says, if Shechten Karben Pesach while in possession of Chametz, you violate the Slav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afatamit. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, even the Karben Tamit. Amru lo Amru lo Pesach levad. And they say to Rabbi Yehuda, no. The Isser is only limited to Karben Pesach. Emasai Bizman, Shiyesh, L'shochet, O L'zorek, O L'echa B'mnei Chabura. If the Shochet, the Zorek, or any member of the Chabura own Chametz, they violate the Isser. Hayilecha B'sofa Olam. Now, if somebody at the end of the world has Chametz, ain't Zakuk Lo. Not your issue. V'echad Shochet, V'echad Zorek, V'echad Amolek, V'echad Hamazeh Chayev. If you, Shech, sprinkle, do Malika, or sprinkle the blood, you're going to be chayav. Okay, so already, if I could just point out, that's already inconsistency number one. Because here in the second brace, it says, well, if you do malika, you violate the isser.
But I think the difference could be that a zar could do a shechita, but they couldn't do
malika. Okay, just wait one second. The Gemara is going to address this. Ava komitz is a mincha in over below saseh, but if you do komitz on a mincha, so then you're not violating the isser. Now here, really, you can ask the question: meaning, what are we doing with a mincha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? Okay, you could ask that question, but in the meantime, ain't over below sase. Now, if I burn the imurim, so I don't violate a lav. Well, that's problematic. Didn't the previous braces say that if I burn the imurim, I do violate a lav? So. All right, we got two issues. Top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Kashya Malika Amalika, Kashya Haktara Ahaktara. Okay, so we got two basic issues. Number one is the inconsistency of Malika. Bryson number one said that you're not going to be violating the Isser. Bryson number two says you are going to be violating the Isser. Issue number two is that the first Bryson talks about burning the Imurim, and you will be, and if you own Chametz, you're violating the Isser and the Torah, and the second Bryson says no, you're not. Okay, so two basic inconsistencies. The Gemara deals with both of them. Now, the Gemara says, before I address the inconsistencies, let's zoom in on that second Braisa. That second Braisa, even in of itself, is not super smooth. Because, did you notice what happened that second Braisa? First it said that this sister only applies to the Karben Pesach. And then the second half of the Braisa goes on to discuss, you know, if you do Malika, you're going to be Chayev. What? The first part of the Braisa says that you're only Chayev for the Karben Pesach and for no other carbon. So how could you be Chayev on Malika? Malika is for a bird, and the bird's certainly not your Karben Pesach. It certainly represents another carbon. So how would you be Chayev? So the second Braisa in of itself is inconsistent. So what we're going to do now is twofold. We're going to explain the inconsistency of the second Braisa, and by doing so, we're also going to resolve the inconsistency between Braisa number one and Braisa number two. Elahavaha Rabbi Shimon, both braises belong to Rabbi Shimon, and Malika Malika lo kasha kam bar basa kam bechol shamoed. Remember, what was Shita's Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah? On Erev Pesach, the Isser is only limited to one carbon, that's a carbon Pesach. During the remainder of Yontif, from the 15th to 21st day of Nisan, the Isser is to any carbon. So the first half of the Braisa is talking about the 14th day of Nisan. The remaining part of the Braisa is talking about from 15 to 21 of Nisan, meaning the Yontif of Pesach and Chol HaMoed. So that really that deals with issue number one. In other words, good. So Malika, yeah. If done on Erev Pesach, you didn't violate the Isser. Because Rabbi Shimon says on Erev Pesach, it only applies to the Karban Pesach. For the remaining parts of Yontif, if for whatever reason you're bringing a bird as a Karban, and you own Chametz, you violate the Isser. Good. So that resolves the issue of Malika versus Malika. And the first Braisa, by the way, who says that you're not violating the this Isser over Malika, that's talking about the 14th day of Nisan. Good. And as far as the Haktara issue is concerned, Nami Lokashya Tanaihi. So the Gemara says, look, that's inconsistent, but we also happen to know it's a machlokas tanaim. It's just a question of whether you subscribe to a hekesh or you do not subscribe to a hekesh. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afatam in my time of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, when the Torah says, Lo Sishchad al Chametz Dam Zivchi, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that's talking about the carbon Tamid? Amar Lecha Zivchi, Zevach HaMiyuchad Li, Umayniyu Tamid. It says Zivchi. Right, I'll give you a simple example. Es karbani lachmi leishai. Right, which carbon is that talking about? Talking about the carbon tamid. Meaning there's a special connection between the tamid and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachos, as the best we can understand this, has a possessive nature to the carbon tamid. So when the Torah says, lo sishchad al chametz dam zivchi, that's also the carbon tamid. That sheet is Rav Yehuda. And what would the Tanakhama say about that? The Gemara doesn't share with us. The Gemara doesn't go back and forth. Rabbi Shimon Omer HaPesach Bar HaBasa V'chulei. My time of the Rabbi Shimon. Now what's the basis of Shitas Rabbi Shimon? Dirchiv Zivchi Zivchi Trei Zimni, as I mentioned in the beginning of this morning's shir. The Torah mentions this Pasuk twice. Once at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, and again at the end of Parshas Kisisa. And because the Torah mentions it twice, so now we have the word Zivchi mentioned twice in the Torah. So, here's what Rabbi Shimon's going to do. It's going to be really creative drush. What we're going to do is we're going to take a yud off of one of the zivchis and attach it to the other zivchi. So, it would read, one pasuk would read, now we're not literally going to do that, but in the world of drush, we're going to do that. This is halachic drush. And so, therefore, one pasuk now reads, Lo sishachet al chametz dam zevach. And the other pasuk would read, Lo sishachen achametz dam zivchayai. Okay, and grammatically that means one pasuk is talking about the singular karban, and the other pasuk is talking about a multitude of karbanos. And now what are we going to do? So, the Gemara explains, Kari bezevach zivchayai. Lamai hilchasa, palgin rechman me'adade. So now what we're going to do is we're going to assign the psukim. So now we're going to assign them to two different time periods. On Erev Pesach, that's Zevach. Meaning the Isser in the Torah is only for the carbon Pesach itself and to no other carbon. The Isser during the remaining part of Yontif is for carbonos, meaning all other carbonos. Any carbon, any valid carbon, and you own chametz, you're violating the Isser in the Torah. Finally, to finish up, I told you in the Mishnah this was going to become an issue. I have a carbon Pesach that wasn't used on Erev Pesach. Okay, and now I'm going to use it in any other time of the year. It converts to a shlamim. Is that a default conversion? Or do I have to say something in order to make this conversion happen? That's a question. I told you the Gemara is going to discuss it later on. When we get to the Ayins, Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalet, we're going to be raising this issue. But in the meantime, however, our Mishnah seems to speak to this idea. So the Gemara says, Amai Pesach B'Shayim Asashana Shlamim Havai, Shamiz Menei Pesach B'Shayim Asashana Bayakira. It sounds like from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, I have the Karban Pesach, it's now after the 14th day of Nisan, I need to shecht the Shelo Lushmo. So it sounds like I have to verbally articulate that this is no longer the Karban Pesach. It's not a default conversion. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you don't have to conclude that way. Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda Nizrak Mipi Chabur, we all agreed, the Amru Kagon. Our Mishnah could be talking about the following scenario. Shehayu Balam Tamei Meis, that the owners of this particular Karban Pesach were Tamei Meis, and as we know, they are excluded from Pesach Rishon. What are they going to do? Next month, 14th day of Iyar, they're going to bring the Karban Pesach. V'nitzchen l'Pesach Sheni, distame elushem Pesach Kai. In this particular scenario, because now it's not going to default into a shlamim, because we're holding it over for Pesach Sheni. In this case, if for whatever reason we decide, you know what, we're converting it to a shlamim, I then have to articulate and say, I'm converting it to a shlamim. But it could be that in a regular scenario, the Pesach automatically defaults into a shlamim after the 14th day of Nisan. Okay, again, that's a topic that we're really going to spend more time covering on later. All right, and now here we go. We're on Tzamech Tal Amad Aleph, we're at the Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to give a description. Okay, so you want to know what Erev Pesach should look like. So, unfortunately, it's been a while. It's been almost a couple thousand years now. But now we have a Mishnah that gives us an idea of what Erev Pesach, what it should look like. HaPesach Nishcha Shal B'Shal Shkita. So first of all, the afternoon is divided into three groups. So in other words, you're giving assignment. Now, it's not clear, the Mishnah doesn't really tell us, whether how we make this determination of who grows with which group. I guess the standard pushing, shoving, elbowing, right? Maybe take a number. Okay, it's not clear. But there are three groups. So and that's by design, meaning that's not just because pragmatically, logistically, that's the way it's done. In other words, that's by design. Shenemer v'shachtu oso kol akal adas Yisrael, kahal ve'ed of Yisrael. The Torah has three different community terminology. So, kahal ed of Yisrael, that represents the three groups. So, like, if you will, the first group is like the kahal group. The second group is like the Ada group. And the third group is the Yisrael group. Don't take me too literally on that. But anyway, nichnas akas rishon, and here's what happened. The first group would go in Nismali Hazara and they would fill up the temple courtyard. Nalu Delasos Hazara, now the doors would close. Now, how did the doors close? The Gemara is going to discuss that later in today's daf. Tiku Reiru V'Tiku, they blew in the shofar. Hakonim Amdim Shurus Shurus. The Kohanim would stand in lines like a fireman ladder. Uviyadehem Bezichei Kesef Uvezichei Zahav. And they would have gold and silver cups. These are the bowls that would be used to transport the blood from the area where the Karban was shechted to the Mizbeah. Now, yep, I have the pictures behind me. You want to take a look at the Azara? Remember, the Azara is this area over here. This is the gate door that would be closed after everybody would fill up. Now remember, the Pesach is a Shlamim as opposed to, you realize this is the north side. Okay? Sorry for the confusion. We've gone through this a number of times. This is the north side. If it's an Ola, the Ola has to be shechted on the north side of the Azara. But this is a Karban Pesach. It's a shlum. It can be shechted anywhere within the Azara. And then, by fireman ladder, they would take the bowl of blood that was collected, and they would have a line of Kohanim to the Mizbech, and they would sprinkle on the Mizbech. As the Mishnah pointed out, or will point out, not clear where we are in the Mishnah yet, it was sprinkled anywhere where there's a Yesod. There's a Yesod on the north side of the Mizbech, and there's the Yesod on the west side of the Mizbech. Blood was sprinkled over here, not on the south side, not on the east side. So, just helping everyone visualize what's happening.
So, let me give them like a telephone, because one coin is passing it to another, right? So, how do they do Lishman and the shame of the owners?
In other words, right, correct. 600 Kohanim and, right, and, okay. Hold that question. The Gemara is not going to deal with that question, but come to me afterwards. The tikkur of tikkur konem amdim shur shurz v'yedem zichay kesef zichay zav shur shikula kesef kesef v'shur shikula zav zahav. Okay, the line of gold cups is all gold, and the line of silver cups are all silver. Lo hayum uravim v'lo hayul bezichin shulayim. They wouldn't mix that up. And oh, by the way, the bowls themselves did not have a base. Shema yinechem v'ikar shadam, because with a base, the chances are you're going to put them down, and the blood then is going to congeal, and you don't want that to happen. Shachi Yisrael v'kibal ha-kohen nos l'chaver v'chaver l'chavero o mekabal samalo machzir sarekan. Now, if you can picture now, in this line of Kohanim, there would be two passings. In other words, the Kohen, who's, let's say, in the middle of the line, he'd be taking a cup full of blood and then passing it to the person in front of him, and he'd also be collecting the empty bowl and passing it to the guy behind him. Make sure, says the Mishnah, first you accept the bowl full of blood, then pass along the empty bowl. The bowl full of blood, that's a mitzvah. The empty bowl, it's also a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's only so that it goes back to get another bowl. Okay, so make sure to first pass along the bowl of blood, and then pass back the empty bowl. Right, based on the principle of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. Kohen HaKarov Yitzal Mizbeach, Zorko Zrika Achaz Keneged Yisod. Now, the Kohen that is closest to the Mizbeach, so he gets to do the actual sprinkling. And he'll sprinkle it along the wall of the Mizbeach that is opposite the Yisod. How many sprinklings? One. Karvan Pesach, only one sprinkling. Kasri Shonim, Yatsa Kasri Shonim Nechnas Kashniya. Okay, first group's out, second group's in. Yatsa Shniya Nechnas Shlishis. Second group's out, third group is in. Kemase Rishon Kach Mase Ashniya Veshlishis. Okay, and everything is repeated as we just described. In other words, the scene is repeated three times. Karus Ahalo. Now, they would sing the halal. Okay, the singers I usually assume are the Levim. Im Gamru Shanu Im Shanu Shilshu. Now, let's say they got through all of halal, but we didn't finish doing the avoda. Say halal again. And what if we need another round of halal? Say it again. Alpha Pishlo Shilshu Miyameim. Now, the Mishnah points out they never had to say halal a third time. Kohanim were super organized, super efficient, so they only needed to say halal twice. Now, by the way, it also depends on the speed of halal, but. Okay. Rav Yehuda Amri Miyameim Shokashli Shilo Igiel Ahavtik Yishma Hashem Emnei She'ama Mu'atim. Now that third group was a small group. They didn't even finish Halal once in that third group. They got to the middle of Halal and that was it. K'maaseh b'kol kach maaseh b'Shabbos. Now, what if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? It'll still be the same scene. However, Ela Shel Kohanim Medichin Esazer Shlo B'Ratzon Chachamim. Here's what they did, however. They, meaning the Kohanim, they washed out the temple courtyard floor. They had a canal of water running through, and what they would sometimes do is they would flush out the floor of the Azara. It's very simple. You stop up the water, let it flood the Azara, and then unstop it, and that washes away all the blood. They would do that even on Shabbos, right? Shalom Baratzon Chacham, and the Chacham didn't like that, even though the Kohanim did that. So that created a certain amount of friction between the Kohanim and the Chachamim. They did it all year round, but when Shabbos and Erev Pesach coincide, they still did it. The Chachamim didn't like it, and we'll talk about later on what's the issue over there. Rav Yehuda Omer Kos Hayamamale Mi Midama Tarov Zarkus Zrika Achas Agabe Mizbech V'Lahodu Lo Chachamim. Another move that was controversial. What Rav Yehuda would say is, here's what we do. At the end of the afternoon, take one bowl of blood that's on the floor and sprinkle on the Mizbech. And we're going to call that the just-in-case blood. Meaning, just in case, for whatever reason, your blood never made it to the wall, so that one cup will satisfy. One cup is going to satisfy the thousands of carbon Pesachs I would offer that afternoon. So Rav Yehuda will say yes, and we'll talk about that later on as well. Ketzah Tolan Mashitin, and let's just finish the Mishnah. So now, flaying of the animal. So first of all, hooks were set up all over the Azara so that we can hang the animal and flay it right there. Call me.
Good morning, everybody. If you're trying to figure out which minyan you're supposed to be going to, please pay attention.
Okay. Call me she'ein lo makom litlos ulahavshe maklos dakim vechalukin esham aniach ktefo ve'al katif chavero v'tola umavshit. Let's say you had enough hooks. So then what you're going to do is you're going to put it on the, you're going to have little sticks that they put it on. Ve'al katif chavero v'tola umavshit. Rabbi Lazar Omer, yedalet shechal yos b'shabes meniach yado al katev chaver v'yad chaver ktefo v'tola umavshit kor v'hotzi esni. I'm sorry. And then on Shabbos, we would put our arms on one another, hang the animal off our arms, and do afshata right there. Now, okay, thank you. Okay. Now, what we do is that we remove the imurim; those are the fats that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. We would put the imurim in a bowl, and they're going to be burnt on the mizbeach. Victim agam mizbeach. Yatzakas rishonu v'yashva alo baharabayis. Out exits the first group; they go to harabayis. Shnia bechel. The shnia will go to the chel, and shlishes bim koma omedes. And the third group would just stay right there on the azara. Chashecha. Once it gets nighttime, Yatsu Vitzalas Piskrem, then they would go out and they would roast a Karban Pesach. I believe that this last part of the Mishnah is describing Erev Pesach, that also happens to be Shabbos, where no carrying is allowed. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, today's daf was Samach Dalet. Okay, yeah. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with it. We'll start right with the Gemara. Okay, a scene of Erev Pesach, of how it once upon a time should have been. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.